Okay, Leviticus chapter 13, 14, and 50.
And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons, the priest. The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body. And if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and its hair has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore 7 days. And the priest shall examine him on the seventh day, and indeed if the sore appears to be as it was, and the sore was not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine him again on the seventh day, and indeed if the sore has faded, and the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab should at all spread over the skin, after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. And if the priest sees that the scab has indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. When the leprous sore is on a person, then he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall examine him, and indeed, if the swelling on the skin is white, and it is turned the hair white, and there is a spot of raw flesh in the swelling, it is an old leprosy on the skin of his body. The priest shall pronounce him unclean and shall not isolate him, for he is unclean. And if a leprosy breaks out all over the skin, and the leprosy covers all the skin of the one who has the sore, from his head to his foot, wherever the priest looks, the priest shall consider. And indeed, if the leprosy has covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean who has the sore. It has all turned white. He is clean. But when raw flesh appears on him, he shall be unclean, and the priest shall examine the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean, for the raw flesh is unclean. It is leprosy. Or if the raw flesh changes and turns white again, he shall come to the priest, and the priest shall examine him, and indeed if the sore has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean who has the sore. He is clean. If the body develops a boil in the skin and is healed, and in the place of the boil there comes a white swelling or a bright spot, reddish white, then it shall be shown to the priest. And if, when the priest sees it, it indeed appears deeper than the skin, and its hair has turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore which has broken out of the boil. But if the priest examines it, and indeed there are no white hairs in it, and it is not deeper than the skin, but has faded, then the priest shall isolate him 7 days. And if it should at all spread over the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore. But if the bright spot stays in one place and has not spread, it is the scar of the boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Or if the body receives a burn on its skin by fire, and the raw flesh of the burn becomes a bright spot, reddish white or white, then the priest shall examine it, and indeed if the hair of the bright spot has turned white and it appears deeper than the skin, it is leprosy broken out in the burn. Therefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore. But if the priest examines it, and indeed there are no white hairs in the bright spot, and it is not deeper than the skin, but has faded, then the priest shall isolate him 7 days. And the priest shall examine him on the seventh day, If it has at all spread over the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore. But if the bright spot stays in one place and has not spread on the skin, but has faded, it is a swelling from the burn. The priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is the scar from the burn. If a man or a woman has a sore on the head or the beard, then the priest shall examine the sore, and indeed, if it appears deeper than the skin, and there is in it thin yellow hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a scaly leprosy of the head or beard. But if the priest examines the scaly sore, and indeed it does not appear deeper than the skin, and there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the scale 7 days. And on the seventh day the priest shall examine the sore. And indeed, if the scale has not spread, and there is no yellow hair in it, and the scale does not appear deeper than the skin, he shall shave himself, but the scale he shall not shave. And the priest shall isolate the one who has the scale another 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest shall examine the scale, and indeed, if the scale has not spread over the skin and does not appear deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. He shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scale should at all spread over the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall examine him, and indeed, if the scale has spread over the skin, the priest need not seek for yellow hair. He is unclean. But if the scale appears to be at a standstill, and there is black hair grown up in it, the scale has healed. He is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. If a man or a woman has bright spots on the skin of the body, specifically white, bright spots, then the priest shall look, and indeed if the bright spots on the skin of the body are dull white, it is a white spot that grows on the skin. He is clean. As for the man whose hair has fallen from his head, he is bald, but he is clean. He whose hair has fallen from his forehead, he is bald on the forehead, but he is clean. And if there is on the bald head or bald forehead a reddish-white sore or his bald forehead, then the priest shall examine it. And indeed, if the swelling of the sore is reddish-white, on his bald head or on his bald forehead, has the appearance of leprosy on the skin of the body, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, "Unclean! Unclean!" He shall be unclean all the days he has the sore. He shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Also, if a garment has a leprous plague on it, whether it is a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it is in the warp or woof of linen or wool, whether in leather or in anything made of leather, and if the plague is greenish or reddish in the garment or in the leather, whether in the warp or in the woof, or in anything made of leather, it is a leprous plague and shall be shown to the priest. The priest shall examine the plague and isolate that which has the plague 7 days. And he shall examine the plague on the seventh day. If the plague has spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof, in the leather or in anything made of leather, the plague is in an active leprosy. It is unclean. He shall therefore burn that garment in which is the plague, whether warp or woof, in wool or in linen or anything of leather, for it is an active leprosy. The garment shall be burned in the fire. But if the priest examines it, and indeed the plague has not spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof, or in anything made of leather, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing in which is the plague, and he shall isolate it another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine the plague after it has been washed, and indeed, if the plague has not changed its color, though the plague has not spread, it is unclean, and you shall burn it in the fire. It continues eating away, whether the damage is outside or inside. If the priest examines it, and indeed the plague has faded after washing it, then he shall tear it out of the garment, whether out of the warp, or out of the woof, or out of the leather. But if it appears again in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof, or in anything made of leather, it is a spreading plague. You shall burn with fire that in which is the plague. And if you wash the garment, either warp or woof, or whether it is made of leather, if the plague has disappeared from it, then it shall be washed a second time and shall be clean. This is the law of the leprous plague in a garment or wool or linen, either in the warp or woof, or in anything made of leather, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and dip them in the living bird, and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. He who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. After that he shall come into the camp, and shall stay outside his tent 7 days. But on the 7th day he shall shave all the hair off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows. All his hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes, and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. And on the 8th day he shall take 2 male lambs without blemish, 1 ewe lamb of the 1st year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and 1 log of oil. Then the priest who makes him clean shall present the man who is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And the priest shall take 1 male lamb, and offer it as a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then he shall kill the lamb in the place where he kills the sin offering and the burnt offering, in a holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. The priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil, and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. Then the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle some of that oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And if the rest of the oil in his hand, and the priest shall put some of the tip on the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the blood of the trespass offering. The rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed, so the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. Then the priest shall offer the sin offering and make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. Afterward, he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. So the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean. But if he is poor and cannot afford it, then he shall take one male lamb as a trespass offering to be waved, to make atonement for him, 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, a log of oil, and 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, such as he is able to afford. One shall be a sin offering and the other a burnt offering. He shall bring them to the priest on the 8th day for his cleansing, to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, before the Lord. And the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. And the priest shall pour some of the oil into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand 7 times before the Lord. And the priest shall put some of the oil that is in his hand on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of the right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the place of the blood of the trespass offering. Then the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed, to make atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall offer one of the turtle doves or young pigeons, such as he can afford, such as he is able to afford, the one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering with the grain offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him who is to be cleansed before the Lord. This is the law for one who had leprosy, leprous sore, who cannot afford the usual cleansing. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when you have come into the land of Canaan, which I give you as a possession, and I put the leprous plague in a house in the land of your possession, and he who owns the house comes and tells the priest, saying, it seems to me that there is some plague in the house, then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest goes into it to examine the plague, that all that is in the house may not be made unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in to examine the house. And he shall examine the plague, and indeed if the plague is on the walls of the house with ingrained streaks, greenish or reddish, which appear to be deep in the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again on the 7th day and look. And indeed, if the plague has spread on the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which is the plague, and they shall cast them into an unclean place outside the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped inside all around, and the dust that they scrape off they shall pour out in an unclean place outside the city. Then they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones, and he shall take another mortar and plaster the house. Now if the plague comes back and breaks out in the house after he has taken away the stones, after he has scraped the house, and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and indeed if the plague has spread in the house, it is an active leprosy in the house, it is unclean. And he shall break down the house, its stones, its timber, and all the plaster of the house, and he shall carry them outside the city to an unclean place. Moreover, he who goes into the house at all while it is shut up shall be unclean until evening. And he who lies down in the house shall wash his clothes, and he who eats in the house shall wash his clothes. But if the priest comes in and examines it, and indeed the plague has not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. And if he shall take to cleanse the house two birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop, and he shall kill one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood, the hyssop, the scarlet, and the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water, and sprinkle the house seven times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and the running water and the living bird, with the cedar wood, the hyssop, and the scarlet. Then he shall let the living bird loose outside the city in the open field, and make atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This is the law for any leprous sore and scale, for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, for a swelling and a scab and a bright spot, to teach them when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, When any man has a discharge from his body, his discharge is unclean. And this shall be his uncleanness in regard to his discharge, whether his body runs with his discharge, or his body is stopped up by his discharge. It is his uncleanness. Every bed is unclean on which he who has the discharge lies, and everything on which he sits shall be unclean. And whoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. He who sits on anything on which he who has the discharge sat shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And if he who touches the body of him who has the discharge shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. If he who has the discharge spits on him who is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Any saddle on which he who has the discharge rides shall be unclean. Whoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until evening. He who carries any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And whomever the one who has the discharge touches and has not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. The vessel of earth that he who has the discharge touches shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. And when he who has a discharge is cleansed of his discharge, then he shall count for himself 7 days for his cleansing, wash his clothes, and bathe his body in running water, then he shall be clean. On the eighth day he shall take for himself two turtle doves or two young pigeons, and come before the Lord to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and give them to the priest. Then the priest shall offer them, the one as a sin offering, and the other as a burnt offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord because of his discharge. If any man has an emission of semen, then he shall wash all his body in water, and be unclean until evening. And any garment, and any leather on which there is semen, it shall be washed with water, and be unclean until evening. Also, when a woman lies with a man, and there is an emission of semen, then they shall bathe in water, and be unclean until evening. If a woman has a discharge, and the discharge from her body is blood, she shall be set apart 7 days, and whoever touches her shall be unclean until evening. Everything that she lies on during her impurity shall be unclean. Also, everything that she sits on shall be unclean. Whoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water, and be unclean until evening. And whoever touches anything that she sat on shall wash his clothes and bathe in water, and be unclean until evening. If anything is on her bed or on anything on which she sits, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until evening. And if any man lies with her at all, so that her impurity is on him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and every bed on which he lies shall be unclean. If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, other than at the time of her customary impurity, or if it runs beyond her usual time of impurity, all the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary impurity. She shall be unclean. Every bed on which she lies all the days of her discharge shall be to her as the bed of her impurity. And whatever she sits on shall be unclean, as the uncleanness of her impurity. Whoever touches those things shall be unclean. He shall wash his clothes and bathe in water, and be unclean until evening. But if she is cleansed of her discharge, then she shall count for herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. And on the 8th day, she shall take for herself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, and bring them to the priest, to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the priest shall offer the one as a sin offering, and the other as a burnt offering. And the priest shall make atonement for her before the Lord for the discharge of her uncleanness. Thus you shall separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. This is the law for one who has a discharge, and for him who emits semen and is unclean thereby, and for her who is indisposed because of her customary impurity, and for one who has a discharge, either man or woman, and for him who lies with her, who is unclean.
This may appear an awful lot to go through, but as we see a pattern, it's quite common throughout the entire thing. I've said before, I'm going to give you my input, a couple of things, and then we will open up for discussion. The thing about leprosy, it's a word that's kind of overused, and basically it means a scourge or something that has stricken or something that has been struck on something, something that's happened to the individual person. And it's not what we think of leprosy. It's that Greek word for leprosy, meaning you can't touch them. I mean, they've got, you know, it's a different word here in Hebrew. It's not the same word that's in Greek. So I just want to make that comment about that, because, you know, it's, sometimes we get a little troubled by sometimes these words that we have been translated in English. The thing I want to talk about also, and this is in the book of Leviticus, it uses the word HaTorah. Every time it says a phrase in your English, in some ways, when it says the law, this is the law, this is the word that means HaTorah. And it is a teaching, it is an instruction, it is how you live, it's how we product our life and our lives. So basically, that's basically the meaning of it. So every time you see that word, the law, don't think about it. It's like a commandment. It is a HaTorah. It is a way of life, shall we say, how one to live, because that's how we are to be. Very interesting things about these things. The comment of 7 days on the 7th day and on the 8th day is quite common in the pattern that goes through this thing, and sometimes that pattern is doubled to 14 days completely, and then on the 8th day, another one. The other comment I want to make is on and the idea of the leprous guy who got leprosy or got a disease. There's certain things he must provide, and it's one of those things is 2 male lambs and 1 female lamb. We'll get to there in a minute, but quickly, it's very fascinating that the 2 male lambs are used for something different. The female lamb is the whole offering. It's one of the rare times we have a female animal that is used for the whole offering or the whole the burnt offering. Everything is being burnt up within it. All right. Any comments? Any thoughts? John?
I don't have anything, excuse me, specific, but what's hard to relate with these passages is everybody's aware, but you think back just even 100 years, there was a great debate about whether or not you washed your hands before you even did an operation.
Yeah.
Even back to the Civil War, I think as late as the Civil War, they were still having this battle about whether or not there existed germs.
Yeah.
And there's so many regulations in these areas of Scripture talking about cleansing with water.
Yeah. And washing and your hands being washed. You know,
up to your elbow.
It's very common. It's not a tradition. Yeah. It's a way of living. It's how you should do things. Yeah.
And if we don't understand that and think about that for a moment, it seems to be kind of, well, yeah, you wash your hands. Well, no, for thousands of years, people didn't know.
It's something you do.
Yeah.
Because it's for not only the sanitary reason, but just for health reason as well as for, you know, clean and unclean, tome and tomo, tahor. Tammy.
I noticed an interesting pattern on the anointing of the healed leper. It seemed to have a very uncanny similarity to the anointing of Aaron and the priest with the blood on the ear and the thumb and the foot and, you know, all this. Do you have an opinion as to why this particular restoration, if you will, has that similarity to, you know, the anointing of the priest, where other situations where the person is being restored in some way or form does not have this particular ritual?
Yeah, I thought about that too, and I thought very, very interesting that when someone has a disease of some kind, and he has to go through the ceremony, whether even if he has to use turtle doves, you know, going through the ceremony and the blood and the oil. The oil is the thing been added to this one, and having it on the ear and the thumb and the toe. Now, what is that pattern telling us? We know the priest, Moses had to do it to Aaron and his sons, and of course any high priest or anyone called the priesthood, when they took that office, the same process had to happen. And so there's a pattern here telling us there is something for the cause of doing it. Why would you think God had him do this? For the leper, we could, quote, understand the Levite, maybe. We could understand the priesthood, maybe. But what about this person who has got a disease and now has become tahor, clean? Ellie.
Well, one of the things is even literally what you hear, what you do, and where you go. So, and that also incorporates the washing of hands. But there's also, when you use cedar wood is a cleanser, and they use, the ear is to do with parental issues. If you've got, you can work with oils in your ears and actually resolve some emotional issues. The thumb, Carrie, can you remember the rest of it? The right thumb. The right thumb and the right toe all have different cleansings of the body, and that's purely literal, but that's what they use.
Okay, the oil, we can picture. Why
it's
the blood?
Cedarwood oil.
Why the blood?
I don't know.
Very fascinating, isn't it? Yeah, Tammy, your question. You had it.
Here, I ask you the question, then I'm going to give you my answer. I'm so silly, aren't I?
Go ahead.
But the one thing I was just thinking about is the leper, unlike maybe some of the other situations where a person has to come and be cleansed for some reason, the leper has usually been outside the community for some time.
Right.
Maybe months, maybe years even. They've been totally outside the community, have not been able to bring their periodical sin offerings or whole offerings or Thanksgiving offerings, anything like that. They've been totally, you know, excommunicated. Maybe that's maybe too strong of a word, but that's kind of
outside of the camp, isolated for a reason.
But now they're being brought in to the camp again. And maybe this thing with the ear and the, is it everything, and having it being somewhat similar to the priest is maybe a reassurance to that person that now is a clean slate from you. Now you have to become a part of the community again, and that we are wanting you to be a part of our community again.
Now, in the 15th chapter, verse 31, okay, I agree with what you're saying. Right now it makes sense to my mind. I had not those words, but close to what you're thinking. Because he says now, this has to do with the Tomei and Tohor. thing. It says, they will not defile my tabernacle that is among them. And so the whole purpose of this, for the purpose that someone like a leper who has, he's been outside now, now he can be welcomed back in again. And I think the blood is a definite picture of welcoming you back into and bring you back into close unto and within the tabernacle range and inside the camp, not just the camp only, but enter into the tabernacle. Daniel.
I'm not quite sure if I can articulate this very well, but bear with me for a minute. If, let's just to say, for example, it's a picture. Okay, so the Messiah, or also known as the high priest, job is to examine that which is unclean or unacceptable and says, all right, now I will bring you in as acceptable through, of course, blood to purify you, and you will be like a priest. It's not much different than the whole idea of the New Testament. Messiah says you will be like kings and priests or kings of priests.
Right.
And that in order to be accepted through, for which was once unclean is now clean again, it or becomes clean, is only through one process, through the blood of, quote, the priest or the high priest who's examining this whole
thing. It
process.
Could be a regular priest.
It's like a picture of what the New Testament does physically for all of us who are unclean.
Right. Now, the fascinating thing about it, because he says you will be kings of priesthood unto me. And so, first ones he used Levites, that's the first one he shows as an example. And in this case, the leper, the priest is not priest, Levites are not priests because they're good guys. They preach because God appointed them one. And the leper now is clean. How come the leper is clean? Now, what is the function here of the, because you know, said before, the book of Leviticus is the job of what the priests do, not what you do. And your sins, your transgressions, because that's already been covered earlier. Here it's a function of the priest. What is it that God has in mind? Why is it that this book is thinking of what the priest must therefore say what is clean and what is unclean? He's the one to examine. It doesn't mean he's a doctor or he's the guy out there doing the testing. Someone else does that kind of work. And he must come back, you know, including the garments as well as the house. Now, the house, of course, is when they went into the promised land. And God said, I have condemned one of those houses. He says, I have done it. Therefore, this is what you will do. And one of them you will tear down completely. And so it's very fascinating to look at this thing that when we as to become a royal priesthood, is this like an awful lot of work? Okay, this is physical, right? We know this is very down to earth, very real. And what does that have to do with your life, my life today? What is it we're supposed to learn from all of this Tomei and Tohor? What are we supposed to learn from clean and unclean? Just how to be, you know, a clean guy, a nice guy? Yes. Sorry, what?
God is holy and he expects certain things.
It tells us, good, now it tells us one thing. Our function is what? Not to say unclean and go on with life. Your job is to do what? Come back, find out, is it clean or is it unclean? Your job is continually looking at people, looking at things, looking at the physical thing around you, and it's your job, your function, to know and always be alert. If I could be on your toes, you just don't say, okay, he's unclean, and you go off and do your job, and, you know, 7 years later, 10 years later, 20 years later, say, oh, where have that guy? No, you're supposed to go back. Or the person's supposed to come back up to you and bring and ask you some question. In case of the house, guess what the priest had to do? He had to go to the house to be able to examine it. So, what is the function? The priest is supposed to teach us what is clean unto God and what is unclean unto God. These are very detailed parts, right? Very personal parts, aren't they? Very close to your world and my world in the flesh. Now, what about the spiritual world? Oh, wow. Where is it there?
In the actions of what happens.
So let's put it this way. We know there is sins. We know there's transgression. Let's use those two simple things, all right? What are you supposed to do when a sin or transgression takes place? Daniel?
Well, to examine it.
To examine it!
Examine why, examine how, and examine how to fix it.
And how to fix it, and how God has the time. By the way, it's very amazing here. An awful lot of us think, oh, I'm sick, let's get anointed, right? And then we think, next day I'm healed. Now, sometimes it takes 7 days. Sometimes it takes 14 days. And in case of leopard, it could take years. All right? He's left outside the camp until the things get changed. He's outside the camp, and you're coming outside the camp. He must tell you, yell out, unclean, unclean. He's not in the camp. He's not with the people. He's outside of it. And so you come outside of the camp or outside of the area, and he must tell you that he is unclean. That's a really hard thing for you as a person to do, wouldn't it? Would you like for yourself to have to be yelled out, unclean, unclean? That's not an easy thing to do. Not a pleasant thing to do. Because what happens when you have to be isolated? What happens to you when you're isolated? How many of you have ever been isolated away from nobody for a long time? Man, is it comfortable? Is it wonderful? Or you feel alone, deserted? No one cares about you. No one even comes out in the camp site, outside the camp site, and say, "Hi, how are you?" Quite an interesting approach, isn't it? Now, sometimes, Bill.
Sometimes you have a tendency to go from bad to worse.
Yeah. They go from bad to worse. How are we supposed to, quote, judge the situation, end of quote?
Determine if it's deeper than the skin.
Sorry, what? Repeat.
Determine if it's deeper than the skin.
Yeah, right. Find out if it's deeper than the upper surface. Find out how deep it is. But you're not supposed to condemn the person. You're supposed to bring about a solution by saying this is what God does. You, if you were prepped down physically, got down past your skin and turned below the skin, you're supposed to go out and find out. And by the way, God has no problem with oils. Or ointments, because he even says you could use ointments. And there we have this. And, okay, what are you going to do? Heal? You've got to do something about it. He expects you to do something about it. Why doesn't God just intervene and says, well, I love you anyway, I'm going to heal you, and go on with life? No, he has a purpose behind it all. What do you think is purpose behind it all? You, as a one who's going to become a priest or learn to be a priesthood, you learn what is written here. And you start saying, okay, the object is to bring them back into the camp. The object is to bring them back from what is unclean into what is clean. And you, in your world, in your life, you have to do the very same thing, don't you? So who do you go to when you're unclean? Yes.
The Savior.
Okay. He said, go to our high priest. Go to our priest. Now, David read something today at 2 John, and it's very interesting words. Hold on for a minute. And it's present tense, not past tense. There are times when, quote, sin or uncleanliness happens to you, right? That which is in God's mind or His Word mentions it. And the thing that I found very fascinating when he read this, and I said, I got to add to that for only one reason. If we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another. Why? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us, present tense, from all sins. Did you notice that? Then He cleaned us. He cleans us continually. That's what the function of a priesthood's all about. That's a function when we see the book of Leviticus is the function and job of a priest. And the priest is supposed to do his job. And we have here the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, which is in the ear and the thumb and the toe, right toe, and all to bat for do one thing, to bring him back into. And then remember the blood is to be sprinkled upon seven times upon curtain. We said that before. The only thing that was added here was also the oil. Seven times upon that curtain. When it says before Yahweh, it means before the actual tabernacle and then that curtain. Remember what I told you what the Hebrew word for that curtain is? Explain what it was? You remember? That which is broken. That veil with two angels or cherubim on it. Beautiful artistic work. Fantastic artistic work. In Hebrew, that word means the broken one. Or that which is broken. Now, all by itself, you say, well, that's a weird name for it. It's the barrier between, it is a barrier between you and the Creator of heaven and earth. However, what happened to that veil during the time of the Messiah's death? It got torn. It got broken. It got ripped apart. So all by itself, the very beginning is telling us the meaning of it all. And so when you and I, we look at somebody, we try to evaluate them sometimes. We try to look at their spiritual world and see whether that they are living up to the conduct of Christianity. I'm sorry, that doesn't work. Your function, my function, our function is to help someone from a position that is either unclean and bring them into cleanliness. We don't make the decision whether they are clean or unclean. We go to the Word of God to find out. You understand what I'm saying? This is where we avoid judging one another. John.
I answer to John too. I think for our own selves too, I think sometimes we don't realize how duped we are by the world and we need to stay humble. You know, there's this guy, Tony Campola. I don't know, some of you heard of him maybe. He was really convicted that eating potato chips was a sin. And I don't mean to be funny about it. And I struggle with it. I had some really good chips this last week. But I want to say I've struggled with this over the years. Because he's saying you're taking this really almost perfect food that God's created, and you're destroying it.
Yeah.
And then destroying your body to an extent as you partake of it. And I would think most of us would think that that is pure folly. But with enough thought about it, we're guilty of stuff that probably we're not even aware of. That God would really consider. Let's say God really considers that that's a sin. But we'll joke about it, eat them, fatten ourselves with this stuff. So I think this introspection, this inspection of this skin sore, as Daniel said, also has to be personally. Just say, God, what's a sin and what isn't a sin? I don't think that I even know. I'm like a little child.
Yeah, but this part talks about mostly Tovei and Tohor. They want to know what is clean, what is unclean. And if there is sin within it, like in leprosy one, okay. And the woman has lepers with her discharge. There's something within it. Don't ask me what it is. I don't know. I'm not going to add. I'm not a person that understands it. And the man who does this thing, he's got something wrong with him too, right? And don't touch it for 7 days, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what it is. I'm not interested in what it is, but he also has to go through that very 7 days process. When something happens to him that's not natural, whatever that is, I do not know. Yes.
But it's even interesting that, you know, like if you have a skin of a lamb or something and you use it on your bed and it has something growing on it, that's leprous as well. I mean, you know.
Something unclean about it.
And the house, too, which is really interesting. I mean, about, you know, like if you got a moldy patch or something in your house, then maybe there's something that they would have considered it a leprous situation or unclean situation in your home.
What it was doesn't tell us. We assume it's mold. We assume, but we don't have an answer for it. Because in the area about the house, he says, I have put it there. Now, so the Lord has put it there on certain houses in that land what they're going to take over from the Canaanites. I have no answer to that. I don't understand it. I don't try to tell you I understand it. I just say, okay, if God's going to let me know about it, he'll let me know about it. But I've read an awful lot of things about this. And everybody try to come up with an answer. Their answer is probably as good as yours. I don't know. I'm not a man of inside knowledge of these things. It's a very interesting three chapters, isn't it? A lot of stuff in there. And so it sounded like we could kind of brush through it quickly. But a couple of comments that I think it's very important for us to re-evaluate or at least think about in this whole process. That is called the Torah of discharge. It's the teaching. This is what we are to look at and understand. And the priest is to teach the people what it is. And the priest is supposed to do something about it. Yes?
Question. So is this still applicable for today for us to observe as far as the observance of the cleanness and uncleanness?
I would say, why wouldn't it be? Okay, but your high priest is Jesus Christ or your Yahshua Mashiach. So what you need to do is take it to him and let him say clean or unclean. Now that may be hard for us to understand that, and maybe we should ask him. Why wouldn't you? I'm not of the high priest. I am not of the priesthood, but Yahshua is. So what part is it? So when you've done something or you think you've done something and it really is a picture of uncleanness, you've got to go to the Lord. Now, if you've got some kind of disease that takes 7 days or longer, maybe 14 days, whatever it takes, to isolate yourself long enough to find out and always ask God to look at it, especially on the seventh day. And I say maybe especially on the Sabbath day. I always read seventh day, seventh day, seventh day, seventh day, seventh day. We always have this picture of means, oh, I could be Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday. Maybe it's not. Maybe the priest looks at it upon the Shabbat. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he looks at the first day of the week. And 7 days later, he's got to look at it again. What day does he look at it? If it happened to be on a Sabbath, should he go look at it? Yes, that's his job. And then the eighth day, he has to look at it again. Examine it again. So, you know, this is a continuous thing that goes on and on and on. So to answer your question, the answer is yes. If something happens, we do something, we recognize by the Word of God that even physically unclean, what should we do? Bring it to the high priest. Let him say, the priest member is the one that must say, he is clean or she is clean. It's not for me to say, I'm clean. Because I'm not the priest that yells the sound. On a spiritual aspect, what does that mean to you? It is God who makes it look at it. Now, Jesus mentioned something. We'll talk about this next week. Mentioned something. And he said, now, anyone that God has sent to me, I have not let go of. And sometimes when we look at one another, we say, you know, man, if I had authority over that person, if I had any kind of spiritual power, if I had any authority to say or give my opinion and just tear them down to pieces, I would say, get out of here, get out of the camp, get away from me. Okay? What did Jesus do? Now, he may put you out of the camp. Not because he doesn't like you. He puts you out of the camp. So you and I would come and say, unclean, unclean, please, Almighty Father, clean me. Make me pure. make my heart pure, make me humble. And then he says, okay, now I'm going to do something with your ears, your ear, do something with your hand, I'm going to do something with your toe. Are you willing to do this? Yes, sir, I am. And he welcomes you back in. The function of the priesthood is not to isolate you to where you do not ever have any contact with God. His function is to bring what you bring to God, and he must present that unto the Creator of heaven and earth. The same thing happens today in your world, in my world. You bring something to God, you bring it to the high priest, which is the Messiah, and then he will take it to his Father. And then he will find, he will know from his Father's decision what is and what is not. Because how did Aaron or any of the priests learn what is clean and unclean? They learned it because Moses knew it all? No, they had to listen to and maybe didn't understand it, but they had to listen to and implement those very things. In our world, when we look at one another, we may look at ourselves spiritually speaking, we look at each other and says, boy, you know, that person's a sinner. That person's transgression. That person's unclean. That person is horrible. Who are we? If they're in the hands of the Messiah, who are we? Do you understand what I'm saying? So clean and unclean, tohor, tomor. We went through the clean and unclean animals. Do you really think it's really about clean and unclean animals? Or is telling God telling us something? I want you to know what I have said. I want you to know what I say is unclean. I want you to know what I say is clean. And if you live your life and go to your life according to what I say is clean and what I say is unclean, you're standing in the right place. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do I have lost anybody today? Okay. Oh, one more statement.
I actually think it's a wonderful thing that God puts you outside the camp.
Right.
You need to be isolated and alone to truly understand what you've done.
Because something's unclean about you. Something, a plague has happened to you.
He puts you out there because he loves you.
Yeah, but a plague has happened to you. Now, he's got, you have to stay outside of it until the plague disappears. Or that disease disappears. And guess what you have to do? You have to come back to the high priest and say, okay. And the high priest says, okay, another 7 days, get out of here. He may say that. But he may say, yeah, okay, you're clean. Come on in, but we're going to do something.